Because there's one thing that the power of the Almighty Yahweh Spirit is spread abroad, the love of Yahweh spread abroad in our heart by that. I want to show you why your problem, why you can't come from under that spirit. And David said in Psalm 77:3, he said, I remembered Yahweh, El, I remember this mighty one, and I was troubled. Why? I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. When someone is overwhelmed, they're burning down, they can't handle it. And that's why you're overwhelmed, because that's why you can't pray, that's why there's no enthusiasm for prayer. That's why you're not enthusiastic about praying. You ain't enthusiastic about nothing Yahweh does. Why? Because in the midst of your complaining, your spirit is overwhelmed. And a man that rules his own spirit, you must know how to rule your own spirit, because that is the animation of life. When you complain, says your spirit is overwhelmed. Come on, David said, all this he has done to me, all what Yahweh had delivered that man out of, why would he complain? And all he's done for us, he's delivered us from every kind of spirit there is. Drugs and sins, illicit sexual perversion, everything there is, he's delivered us from that. Then why would you complain? And why should a man complain anyway if he suffered for his sins? Tell me, why should you complain? And that's why many of you are overwhelmed. You can't bear nothing. You're overtaxed. You can't bear the least little thing said to you. Why? Because you complain all the time. You got to speak against it. You got to murmur. He says, this is what it is for me. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. And Yahweh, he delivers them out of them all. Yeah, that's what he means. He said just what he says. Therefore, I remembered Yahweh, El, and I was troubled. I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. Because of his complaining, his spirit was overwhelmed. And because of your complaining, saints, your spirit is overwhelmed. That's why you look dead and half dead, plucked up. That's why you walk around here like you have no life in you. He says in verse 4, thou holdest my eyes waken. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I consider the days of old, the years of ancient time. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I consume my own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. He said, will Yahweh cast off me forever? And will he be favorable no more? He says, is his mercy clean gone over forever? Does his promise fail forevermore? See, he got his mind on what Yahweh had said. And then he's questioning, is he going to do this for me? Is he going to uphold me? Can he do that? Can he keep me? He said, am I complaining so that his mercy is not sufficient? Come on, saints. You complain so you don't realize his mercy and his grace that he's showing you. Your sins have been forgiven just like your brother, your sister. Have you forgotten what he's done for you? He doesn't want us complaining. He doesn't want you murmuring. It brings in such a vile spirit. That's why many of y'all are having trouble, because you have done that. It's not what someone's done to you. It's not what someone is doing to you. And if you always put you through a trial, it's for your own perfection. It's for your own purging and cleansing. It's to show you just haven't met the measure. That you must come up to the fullness and the statutes of Almighty Yahweh. He's trying to prepare you for death. And you're not going to hear in this hour without a preacher. I don't care what you think. That's why you don't have faith, because you don't want to hear the preacher. You began to hear him. You will begin to have faith. I believe this, Father. I'll obey you. I'll do what you say. I'll receive what you say. I won't have no problem with that. All the wonderful things he had done for David, and then he complained. And then his soul was so overwhelmed, he couldn't even get to him. He couldn't say, do I remember his mercies? All this he's done for me? And that's what he does to us, saints. We get so overwhelmed with that.
There are things out here that just overwhelm me. I can't do anything. And that's the truth. We need His help. You need His help. And you need to learn how to pray too. I'm telling you, daughters of Zion, you get upset all you want, you need to get on your face before Yahweh in your homes and begin to cry out. I'm not talking about this little facade of a thing you do. I'm talking about prayer. You brothers need to get on your faces with your wife. You all need to pray. You need to talk about Yahweh. He needs to be the inspiration of your homes. Can't be no hunting, can't be no lifting no weights, can't be no playing basketball, can't be the work, Brother James, can't be the hunt, Brother Dale. It has to be that established in the homes. I don't like you, Brother, stand out late like that. I know you want to do things, but I don't like that. I want your home. I know what kind of heart Brother James got. He just got a heart that's willing to labor. But I want him home. Want your home, brother. I don't want you out there late like that. You're not serving for the world. You're not here to serve the world in that capacity. I don't care what we bring in. It's enough. I know what the man's heart wants to do more, but we don't need that. We want your home. You're just talking. Then I'm a liar then. That's what I want. And this ain't my first time saying that. Now, rather than be here, so I don't have to worry about them. I think about them. I like to see what brother there. When I look out there, I see that Jeep because I know he's home. I like when 7 o'clock roll around and we come to prayer because I know it's nothing happened. You always send that man on the road every day. You tell him he hasn't got drowsy out there. And yet a man that was here heard this truth and he died. His wife ought to constantly stay on her face for that. Help my husband. A man that labored for you, Yahweh. Sure she should. But to charge him to go out there and work with that electricity, just one bolt. So you talking? No, I keep the brothers on my mind all day because I'm glad to see them home. And I'm aware when they get home. I'm glad to see that car, Brother Nisa. Many days I'm out.
Thank you,
I know he's here. I'm happy. He's safe. And that's what he wants. Tell him on that old car hits out of here at 7 o'clock. 8 o'clock now, I know he's all right. I'm glad to see him home. Sometimes I wait right there, I know he's coming. He may sit out there half an hour, but I know he's there. The reason you can't do that is because we are a complaining generation. You murmur all the time, and so you're overwhelmed. You're so overwhelmed you can't even pray. You can't keep your mind on him because you're overwhelmed. And so you go after the spirit of Korah. You go looking for gainsaying. And so you try to say something to see how someone is going to, so how they're going to respond. The scripture says in Exodus chapter 16. That's what they did. Exodus 16 verse 2. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel, they murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And they murmured. They murmured against the men of Yahweh. What are you doing? What have you done? Because there was something in their spirit that was vile. He said, these are murmurers and complainers. He identified two classes of people. When one go beyond that, when they go beyond murmur, they began to complain. It's an insidious wickedness that are taking control of their hearts. You can say something in your murmur and say, I don't like that. I don't like Brother Rand. I don't like that. And when you began to just complain, your heart is just filled with complaining against him, then that the wickedness has overtaken you. You can murmur against him and say, I was wrong. Brother Randy, come on. I love you, brother. Come on. When you complain about him, you just told him, that's why the old James, he just made me sick. You criticize him, and you judge every little action. Now, I want to show you something. He said they murmured against Aaron and Moses. And that's what this generation of the gang says. They murmured against the men of Yahweh. You speak. Now, look what happens in the book of Numbers, chapter 11. I'll show you why Yahweh is not pleased with you. Numbers chapter 11, verse 1. Look at what Scripture says. And when the people, what? what? You mean it displeases Yahweh? Don't you know when you complain, it displeases Him? And when they complained, it displeased Yahweh. And Yahweh heard it, and His anger was kindled. And the fire of Yahweh burned amongst them, and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. Amen. That's why many Yahweh consumed with the fire of your fiery wicked tongue. Amen. That tongue is an evil. It's a fire of evil. It's what James said. It says so far the course of hell. It says so far the course of nature. And that tongue is going to be set on the fire of hell itself. So that thing in his complaining kindles the fire of Yahweh. It makes him angry when we complain, saints. It makes him angry. And he set fire down in the camp. And they were consuming the uttermost parts, the ones that tried to hide. He said, you can't hide. Can you imagine 5 million folks? What it took up? Huh? Can you imagine that? You think they could fit on 60 acres? Not at all. You think they could fit in the little town of Chesterfield? I mean, Chesterfield is 743 square miles. It filled every brim, every inch of that. Yet they had been under hard-pressing bondages. And Pharaoh. And they began to murmur. They began to cry because he heard them because of the oppression. And he delivered you from your sins. Your lustful ways. Your wicked ways. We didn't have a pop to piss in our shed that way. Or willing to throw it out of. Not any of us. And he brought you unto his everlasting covenant. Fed you in the dry, dark places. You didn't have nothing to offer him. You didn't have nothing. You little few pieces of dirt in my head. And then you will complain about what he's doing because you suffer affliction. Because you don't know how to love one another. Because your heart is not toward him. And you want to complain because you want Egypt. You want the garlic and the flesh pot. That's all Egypt is, flesh. It caused the anger of Yahweh to be kindled. When you complain like that, it's the difference between complaining and murmuring. What it is with that complaining spirit is there's an insidious evil in one's heart. Now look how you've complained on this week. Look at one thing now. He gives a word to show you. It's just not a murmur. It's something evil down there. And it's going to take a crying to get that trash out of you. It's going to take that. You're not just getting this out just by saying, I'm all right now, honey. You're going to have to get on your face and cry out. That ain't coming out just saying, I'm all right. No, it ain't coming out like that. The fire of Yahweh was kindled against them because of their murmuring, their complaining. Because they complain. And he sent a fire down in the midst of them. Look at Numbers 14, 27 and 36. He says in Numbers 14, verse 27. Look at what he called them now. You always say, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation? Which murmur against me? I have heard the murmuring of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Well, we're not murmuring against him. We murmur against her or him. No. I believe if you love Yahweh, then he puts you in a place where all things will work to your good. And if you're a good person in the steps of a good man, they're ordered by him. If you're his, he ordered your steps. And so whatever comes your way, your situation, because he ordered that for you. Did he not order death for Messiah? Did they not spit on him? Have someone spit on you? Have someone spit in your face? Has anyone here spit in your face? Has anyone here spit in your face? Have anyone go, pah! Nobody's done that to you. They spat on him. You haven't even suffered that. Because if they did that, you would kill someone. So you haven't been spat on. And all that was in the perfect will of the Father. He put in there to suffer that shame. He put in there that he suffered that shame. And we may have a hope. And we may have a testimony in our souls. And we can trust in. And that the testimony is real. He said they murmured against Almighty Yahweh. And then verse 36 he says, and the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned, and they made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land. See, this ain't right. Yahweh doesn't want us to live like this. This is not what he wants. Is that what they did? And they made the whole congregation, they made them because they brought a lie. And don't you know when you bring a lie against a brother or a sister, you cause others, you bring a slander in the land, you cause others to lie just like that when you get in your little gang saying. You don't know something, shut your mouth. The most beautiful thing you can do is study to be quiet. Ain't nothing like that. You just want to think about a soft answer, it turns away wrath. You won't pollute my mind like that because you won't come to me. Because I'll rebuke you. I'll reprove you. Don't hear this trash. I don't care who it is. Sister Robert's coming to you with trash. I will not hear that. You turn your heart. You go to your husband. Tell him. That's the truth. That's the way it should be. Pause in your souls and your hearts. I don't want to pause in these young men. I don't speak foolishness with Brother Dale. We play basketball and things, but they know I'm serious even in that. But James and I, we were talking the other week, him and Deacon Ben and Elder Martin, we weren't talking foolish. Serious matter. I don't talk foolishness. You got to get a sincere heart and a real heart. We played along. We played for too long. You pretended. You pretend you had something, you didn't have nothing. Amen. We've had nothing but fool's gold. Amen. That's why it's been tried by the little fires and it just turned out to be fool's gold. Amen. There's one thing about the pure gold of faith, it comes through. Amen. And that's what the pure gold does, all the dross comes out. So when he's trying to show you, get a little faith in your heart, show you the filthiness, that all that filthiness can come out, that something real can be generated in your soul. That's what he's trying to do. Well, you condemn us. He doesn't even have to do that because you already condemned. I don't need to condemn you. You resist him, you already condemn. You don't obey him, you already condemn. So I don't have to condemn you. Not one bit at all. Not one bit. The scripture says, I want to read something here. In the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 25, verse 6, I want to begin reading. This is us right here. We'll show you this house. When they had tarried amongst them more than 10 days, he went out to Caesarea, and the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, commanded Saul to be brought. And when he was come, the Jews which came down from Jerusalem stood round about him. And they did what? Laid what? Mary. What kind of complaint? Grievous complaints against Saul, which they could not prove. Which they could not prove. Which they could not prove. And that's this wicked, Judaizing, wicked, corrupt generation. You make many complaints that you can't even prove. They made many complaints about Paul that they couldn't even prove. They cannot prove one. Not a one could they prove. And this is what he said. While he answered for himself, neither against the laws of the Jews now, neither against the temple, neither against Caesar. He said, have I offended anything at all? Have I offended you all? But Festus, willing to do the Jews a pleasure, answered Paul and said, wilt thou go up to Jerusalem and there be judged for the things before me? Why couldn't he judge him? Because he knew that was nothing Paul had done. He knew that his judgment would have not been right. And he did it just for the pleasure of the Jews. That's what he did. That's why he did it. It wasn't because the man had done something wrong. He just did it for the pleasure of the Jews, to make sure that they would have nothing to say. Then said Paul,
Then said Sheol, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judge. To the Jews have I done no wrong, that thou very well knowest. Tell me what your brother says has done you wrong. See, if you complain, you've got to tell them where they've gone wrong. He said, I haven't done anything against you Jews. He says, I can stand before Caesar's seat. So if you haven't done anything wrong, I can stand before the seat of Yahweh. I can stand before his judgment. I'm telling you, say, we have begun to search our hearts and search the integrity of our hearts. How's my judgment with Deacon Ben? Is it different with Brother Dave? Or do I judge Brother Dave different than I do old Brother Jeff? Do I Brother Jermaine differently? I would tell Jermaine his sins, just like I would Jeff and Deacon Benny. See, what you would like to do is bind me where I couldn't do that, but you can't do that. I'm not going to let you do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to let any of you all bind me. Not Sister Roberts. Not you, any of you. I'm not going to let you all do that. I don't care what you say. It still don't bind me. I'm not going to let you do that. That's what this Laodicean, this Laodicean disposition is, one that the laity rule. And wants to tell the preachers what to do, how to say, what to say. I'm not going to talk the way you think I should talk. You can come with gainsaying, whatever you want to. I'm not going to talk that way. I'm going to talk his way. I know I'm talking this way because your flesh doesn't like it. Now, if you like what he says, then your soul rejoice in that. Because it is the deliverance of your soul to bring you into his presence and to manifest himself in you. I'm not going to change anything for any of you. Not one of you. That's the truth. Paul said, there's nothing I've done. He said, I can stand before the seat of Caesar. He said, for if I be an offender or have committed anything worth of death, I refuse not to die. Now, what a testimony. If I've offended you, I don't mind dying. And I won't refuse to die. We refuse to die. We refuse to crucify our flesh. We don't want to crucify it. And Paul said, I won't refuse to die. But if there be none of these things whereof these accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal unto Caesar. He said, you're not going to deliver me unto them, Festus. He said, I appeal unto Caesar. Because I stand on integrity. I know what I stand on. What we do in this generation, we stand on fallen lies. We stand on feelings and emotions. Instead of standing on truth, Paul said, I know what I've done. I stand on the truth. I said on my testimony, what I've spoken, what I've said. But I ain't backing down for that. If it means dying, I'll die. Because I know who has put me in this place. And I know the reason he's put me here to die. So you killing me, you ain't done no wrong to me at all. And that's what he's trying to do, kill your flesh. That's what he wants to do, saints. He wants to destroy everything of your flesh. Everything about it. The attitude. He wants to destroy that. The personality of you. He wants to destroy that. He wants to live in us. That's why Messiah said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will send you the Comforter. And he will comfort you. He didn't want a chance because I know my flesh like I know your flesh. I know your fleshy heart like I know mine. Your fleshy heart is just deceitful as anyone else. And it's a desperately wicked thing. And it craves wickedness. It craves wickedness. And that's why we must be brought under control constantly. That's why we need to keep him in our minds and our thoughts. Because your heart will crave wickedness. You will gravitate to wickedness. That's the natural flow and the natural order of a man. He will gravitate to wickedness and sin and corrupt things. And that's the truth. And he wants us to be renewed by the renewing of our mind by the Holy Ghost. That's what he wants. And that's why our minds continue to crave those things. Why? Because it's not a renewed mind. When our minds are renewed, we will not care even what anyone say, what even how the word of Yahweh correct us. We will bless him for that. We will shout the victory because we know that it's for our good. Do you understand, saints? We're on a journey. We're trying to make it into the kingdom. Hear me, saints. If you never heard anything I say, every last one of us, even that beautiful child and Brother Dolphin's arm, is going to die. It's going to die. Even that one that is in Brother Dale's wife's belly, that child, once it comes forth, it's going to die. That little son of Brother Dale's, as I watch, as much as that boy loves his daddy, that boy is going to die. And it's not far away, saints. We're headed toward one of the most dramatic times upon the face of the earth.
And because his judgment has come, and because he has rewarded us according to our judgment, then our hearts are fully set to do wicked. He's not coming. He's not going to do anything. But you are deceiving yourself. That's why Korah, they went to the gang saying of Korah, that's why he could stand and say to Moses, you take too much on yourself, boy. Just you can't do that. Now we're going to help you. Now we're going to take these censers. We're going to offer up sacrifices. Yahweh said, no. He said, stand back, Moses. He said, I want to do something that nobody else has ever seen. He said, I'm sending them all to hell. He watched that little pretty baby there. Look at that one right there, Moses. He said, watch the earth open. He said, what you want in the earth open. Well, Yahweh doesn't destroy. Well, who destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah? Did he put that in the hand of Satan to destroy the first world? All right, thank you then. Has he changed? All right then, he hasn't changed. So don't tell me he doesn't destroy. Heard a lie, you say that Yahweh doesn't destroy. He said that he destroys. He destroys. He's going to destroy the wicked upon the face of the earth, and there'll be no remembrance of them. He is a destroyer. He is a destroyer just like he is a life giver. And that's the truth. He gives life and he destroys it too. Everything is under his command and control. Everything. Everything is under his control. Everything is under his control. And he's not chancing that to David Roberts. And he's not chancing that to you either. Because we've been fools and we've been foolish. You can say, not I, but you're deceiving your own self. You've been a foolish person. Oh, foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth. Now tell me, is that foolish? If you don't obey the truth, you're foolish. Well, the scriptures say don't call a brother a fool. I'm saying you've been foolish. And we have been foolish. We have not obeyed the truth. He has said things to us and we don't obey that. So that's foolish. He said, before whose eyes Messiah was evidently crucified amongst you. And you can look in the mirror at your own self and you can see that he was crucified in you and for you. Because you know you're delivered. You know you're delivered. You know you've been begotten of him. He said, now what fool you that you become so foolish you can't obey the simple commands of Yahweh. And so don't tell me we haven't been foolish. We like to think of ourselves as being someone grander, or we like to exalt ourselves. I would exalt him. His word said, oh foolish Galatians, and I can find myself with the Galatians, all right? And you can find yourself in the same camp with the Galatians. No, haven't we been deceived? We've been bewitched. Your own mind bewitched you. You sorcery, your own natural sorcery mind bewitched you. That's the truth. And so that's why he wants us to know the truth, so we won't have to fall under the bondage of that spirit. You know what he's doing, you won't complain. For me to suffer is your way. For me to die is gain. Whatever he tried me with is for my own perfection. And that's what he's trying to do, perfect that which remain. And ain't nothing but this cause trouble with our flesh. Your fleshly mind, your fleshly ways, that's what caused the problem. If a man sow to the Spirit, then he's gonna reap of the Spirit. You sow to the flesh, that's why so much fleshly contention and fighting. Because you're flesh creatures. Show the Spirit, then that's going to be a fruit of the Spirit. Love, kindness, peace, meekness.